Good morning. It's good to have everyone here this morning, particularly those of you who are visiting with us. We're really pleased that you're here. Encourage you to come back at every opportunity you have. Particularly come and hear Brian, as Brian's gone this weekend. So I'm filling in, and that's what I'm doing is I'm filling in. And what reminded me already that I'm just filling in is I made it through the whole morning and no one's played an April Fool's joke on me, and I haven't played an April Fool's joke on anyone else until I gave Van the wrong book. He got the right, but I must have given him the wrong book, so the April Fool's joke was on me. So if you're taking notes, our text this morning will be from Matthew 16, 13 through 17. And not Mark 16. Still a good verse. I'm going to use it later, I think, as well. So I appreciate that. Yeah. Anyway, it's good to be with you this morning. If you would go ahead and be turning to Matthew chapter 16, and we'll be looking, starting in verse 13 in a moment. You know, today is a day that a lot of people are focused on Jesus. Today is a day that there is a focus on the Christ. I was in a store the other day picking something up just a couple of days ago, and as I was walking up to the register, I just looked over at my right, and there were five or six magazines, and every single one of them had something to do with Christ on the cover. And it's just a time where the world happens to be focused. And people have a lot of different opinions about Jesus. It's a lot of different thoughts, a lot of different beliefs about our Lord and our Savior. And it's been that way for centuries. If you turn with me and look at our text in Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 13, it said, "And when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' So they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.'" Isn't it interesting that Jesus asked this question? Because clearly he knew that there were a lot of varying views on who he was. And he asked his disciples, "What are men saying about me?" And clearly there was talk. It says, well, some think you're John the Baptist, and some think you're Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Some say. You know, when you think about the world today, people have an opinion about everything, and particularly those things that surround religious beliefs. I want you to think for a moment about what some say today. Some say there is no God. Some say you can't know if there is a God. Some say that the earth and all that exists came from nothing. Some say that marriage isn't necessary as long as you love one another. Some say that marriage isn't just between a man and a woman. Some say that a baby isn't human until it is after 24 weeks old. Some say it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you're a good person. Some say it doesn't matter what you do, as long as you're happy. Some say that what faith you believe isn't as important as just believing in something. Some say that Jesus was a good man, but not the Son of God. Brethren, we need to be careful about listening to to what some say. That's true back with Jesus, with his disciples, and it's true today. Some say a lot of different things. So a lot of opportunities for us to be influenced, a lot of opportunity for us to get misinformation in the world. But if you go back to our text, starting in verse 15, where we left off, Jesus asks another question. He says, "But who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Disciples knew who Jesus was. But what does the Bible say about Jesus? You know, we can always go about what some say, or what a friend says, or a colleague, or a family member, or someone on TV. But what does the Bible say about this man, Jesus? Even in our text, according to the disciples in verses 16 and 17, we know that he is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the one that was to come and to save. He says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." In Luke chapter 2, in verses 10 and 11, there we see, "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid.'" And this is when Christ was born. "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Jesus is the Christ. He is the Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, we learn that Jesus is also the Creator. He is our Creator. He is the Creator of all things. In Colossians 1, 15 and 16, it says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him." Jesus is the Creator of all. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, we read that in the beginning was the Word being Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Sometimes we forget that Jesus, the Son of God, created all. And he was with God in the beginning. We know that the Holy Spirit was there. We know the Father was there. We know this from Genesis. And the Lord was there as well. And God made all things through Christ. He is our Creator. So who is this man, Jesus? Who do you say that I am? He is the Christ. He is the Creator. We also learn in Colossians chapter 1, in verse 17, he is the head of the church. It says, "And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things he may have the preeminence." You know, today this concept of religion, some say that there's all different types of people who are the ones we should be listening to. All different types of men who have different beliefs. A lot of them are contradicting. But there is only one Lord, one faith, as we're told. Christ is the head of the church. In Ephesians 1:22, it says that the Father has put all things under Christ's feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. It is clear that Jesus is the head of the church. That is one of his roles. Who is this man, Jesus? He is the head of the church. We also learn in John chapter 15, starting in verse 1, that Jesus is the true vine. He is the true vine. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Jesus is that single source. As the head of the church, he is the single source of all knowledge, of all wisdom, of all that is good. And if we are to be productive, if we are to be fruitful, we must come from that true vine. We must be part of Jesus. This man, Jesus, is the true vine. We also know that he is the light of the world. In John 1, starting in verse 4, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. You know, there's a lot of things in this world today, and it's not just today, but that's been going on since the beginning of man, from Cain and Abel. There's a lot of dark things in this world. There's a lot of things that go on that most of us don't even know about, that we'll never have insight to. And it can be a very dark place when man focuses on man. And we know even in Genesis, there was a time where it says that man's heart was on evil continually. And it grieved God. And he sent Jesus to be the light of the world. He is our hope. He is the one that we can have faith in a world that is dark. In John 8:12, it says, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. What a great thing it is to be able to walk in light. All of us have walked at one point or another in darkness, and it's not actually a good feeling. There's a lot of people who lure you and lure me into areas that we shouldn't be. But walking with God is satisfying. Walking with God is where there's life. In John 12 and verse 35, then Jesus said to them, a little while longer this light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he was going. You know, it reminds me of many years ago when our son was young and we used to go down on trips there for a while. We were looking at caverns. We like to do those underground caverns, and you go down. And I'll tell you, when they turn the lights off down there, it's dark. It is dark. And if there's any little bit of light, you could find it. But there's few times when, I mean, you can really put your hand right here and you can't see anything. And my son at the time, he was 5, and he had those little tennis shoes that when you stepped on them, the little lights came on. You would have thought a train was coming down there. Those things seem so bright. But you know, at times we can live in a dark world and we can live in a dark place inside of our own mind without God, without relying on Him, without that relationship, without His love, without knowing about His grace, His forgiveness, and His love towards us. And He says that those who walk in darkness do not know where they are going. Do you know where you're going? Do you have a plan? Are you just living life? Do you have a direction? Do you have a vine? Is Christ your head? Are you in the right place in your life? And finally, though Christ is many things, but the ones I'm covering this morning, who is the man Jesus? He is our Savior. He's our Savior. John 3:16, many of us know well, it said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." What a great thing it is to know that Jesus and the Father loves us as much, that Jesus would be our Savior so that we can have everlasting life with Him. Believing in Him requires action, which we'll talk about in a few moments. In John chapter 6, in verse 66, it said, "From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked with Him no more." This is a time when many people left Jesus. And then Jesus turned to the 12, and He said, "Do you also want to go away?" But again, Simon Peter answered Him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Who else is there to go to outside of Jesus? He is the true one. In Acts chapter 4, and in verse 8, here earlier in the previous chapter, a lame man was healed. And the rulers came and they didn't like the fact that the disciples were preaching Jesus and had him arrested. And in Acts 4 and verse 8, Peter said, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man," them healing the lame man, "but what means has he been made well, let it be known to you all and to the people, to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by Him, this man stands before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Jesus is the way. Jesus is the path. So this morning, as I close, my question to you is, who do you say Jesus is? Who is Jesus in your life? What does He really mean to you? Is He your risen Savior? You know, in the text that was read by Van Part of it was, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you believe and you're baptized and you want to follow Jesus, that's how he can be your Savior. That is the path. Are we willing to hear? Are we willing to believe him? We can listen to what some say. Some say, just as long as you're a good person. But Jesus always, God always, through the Bible, teaches us that he expects obedience. He expects a response. Christianity isn't a passive belief. It's an active belief. It requires action. It requires love. It requires us to forgive. It requires us to be supportive. It requires sacrifice. It requires community. It requires fellowship. It requires a lot of positive things. Are we willing to make that response? Are we willing to confess Jesus as our Savior and to be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins and to live a life faithful unto death? You know, in John 14:6, I'll leave with you as we close. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." So this morning, as we, with a good portion of the world, reflect on Jesus, let us not be enamored with what some say. Let us go to the Bible. Let us understand Jesus as it's clearly laid out for us from our God who loves us, who gave us his Son, who was risen on the third day, who conquered death and conquered Satan, so that we can have a hope, that we can have a faith and eternal life with him. If we can encourage you, we do, to come if you have any need whatsoever as we stand and sing.